My assignment this afternoon was to explain the phrase that we see used in Acts the 15th chapter in verse 8, an excerpt from this verse that says, "Even as he did unto us." These were the words of the Apostle Peter. I began to study this and I began to read from the 15th chapter of Acts. And I decided instead of just explaining this one little excerpt, and we will get into this, it's written in here and it's plain as to what the explanation is. But as I read the 15th chapter of Acts, I realized that there are just a lot of things. This is a very important and a very impressive story that is told in the 15th chapter of Acts. So for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to take you through a walk through Acts 15. And let's see what happened and what transpired, because this is something that very much affects us. These problems were solved in the 15th chapter of Acts. It's a very interesting sermon. I'm going to read Acts 15, verses 7 through 11, kind of an introduction. It said, "Now when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago my God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, making no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner." During the first missionary journey that Paul took, Acts 14 and 27 said that God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and he did it through the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was chosen as the primary emissary to teach and to convert the Gentiles. This was the job of the Apostle Paul. And Paul was very responsible and he was very successful in the conversions of the Gentiles, converting the Greeks in Iconium, converting Gentiles all over the then known world. And God was able to use Paul to do this work. There's a verse in Acts 13 and 46, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it here, but the words in Acts 13 and 46 says, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, we turn to the Gentiles." And this verse describes what has just happened. And of course, it's a fulfillment of prophecy that God's people chosen were the Jews, and this is who God went to first. But at the fullness of time, God also extended salvation to the entire world and to the Gentiles. God fulfilled this because of this verse. They had taken the word to the Jews, the people of God. The Jews killed the Messiah. The Jews rejected the word. And so then the word was taken to the Gentiles. And after Paul began to teach to these Gentile nations, it wasn't long until there were more Christians in the Gentile world than there were Christians in the Jewish world. And then we had the problems begin. Anything and everything you do, somebody's going to step up and try and add to or take from. At this time, it was some Judaizers out of Judah, some Pharisees that probably had been converted to Christianity, but they were still Pharisees in their mind. And they began to teach the fact that Gentile Christians could not be saved unless they followed after the law of Moses and were circumcised according to the law of Moses. And if this didn't happen, the Judaizers are saying that an individual could not, a Gentile could not be a believer. And there had to be some acceptance rules that had to be established. Because if the Gentiles had to be converted to Judaism and go with these teachings of Judaism, then this threw a stumbling block on these people. And so Paul quickly realized that this was a problem that had arisen, it had got big, it was growing, and it had to be solved. So the Bible says here that after a long time in Antioch of Syria, that Paul and the church were faced with a crisis, and that crisis was the Gentile problem. So we're going to go through the 15th chapter of Acts tonight. We're going to see what this is about. It's interesting, and it's also very important to us. Let's go to prayer. It says in the first verse of chapter 15 of Acts, it said that certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. So this has just happened, and now the conflict has involved the Gentiles that Paul is trying to convert, and it's become a very serious problem. Teaching some Gentiles, or these Judaizers out of Judea, out of Jerusalem, had come up with this, and now they were out teaching this to the to those in Galatia and also into all the Gentile countries. They were not from the Jerusalem church, but they were not of the leadership of the Jerusalem church, but they did have ties to the Jerusalem church. Paul and Barnabas were very much against this. They very strongly disagreed with this concept. And it's possible that even the Apostle Peter might have been kind of on the fence at this at one time. I don't know. But as we go back to Galatians 2 and we read about the reprimand that Paul gave to Peter, it could have been that Peter was showing just a little bit of preference to the Jews over the Gentiles. Paul reprimanded Peter for this because Peter would eat with the Gentiles until the Jews showed up, and then he would go eat with the Jews and he would ignore the Gentiles. And Paul called him out upon this. He said, how is it that you expect these new Gentiles to live under a law of Moses and follow the law of Moses when even ourselves and our forefathers and none of the Jews had been able to live under this old law? Why would you place these same impossible laws upon the Gentiles? Peter relented on this, and he realized that he was wrong, and he also realized that Paul was wrong. But it took a reprimand because these things were coming out now, and these were just more problems that Paul was having to deal with in his conversion of the Gentiles. So Paul and Barnabas sat down and talked about this and decided that since this nonsense was coming out of Judea, out of Jerusalem, that they needed to go to Jerusalem, to the church, to the apostles, to the elders of the church in Jerusalem, which was the mother church at this time. This was the original church. So Paul and Barnabas decided in the second verse of Acts 15 that they would take a trip to Jerusalem and they would get to the bottom of this. They would find out where the origins of this fallacy was coming from, and they would find a solution that would help them. It says that the way they passed through Phoenicia, they passed through Samaria, they visited with the Gentiles, they told of the conversion of the Gentiles, and there was great joy among the brethren at the progress that was being made in the Gentile nation. As they continued, they finally got to Judea, to Jerusalem, where the origin of this fallacy was coming from. And Paul and Barnabas then was led to the conference which took place. Now here is a meeting between Paul and Barnabas, and the entire church had turned out and was given a very formal reception to Apostle Paul and to Barnabas. The party of Paul was received by the church, by the apostles, and by the elders, according to Acts 5 and 4. And Paul gave a report to this church. This was the church this was the original church. This was the strong point at this time. This is where the apostles were. And so Paul gave this report, and the report was very well received. But then Paul began to describe the problems that he was having with the Gentiles because of these teachings of these Pharisees that was trying to force upon the Gentiles these old Mosaical laws that could not be fulfilled. The Jews couldn't live it. They couldn't live it. And now they're trying to say that the Gentiles have to live it as well. These Jewish Christians, probably Christians here in the church, were those that were likely Pharisees that had been maybe converted to a point, demanding that the Gentiles, before they could receive salvation, must be circumcised and must keep the law of Moses. After this formal greeting, then Paul and Barnabas were able to visit with men of reputation. I suspect this would be the apostles. So they got into a group meeting here and they laid out their problems to these peoples of reputation and explained to them the problems that they were having in the hopes of a solution. Paul had ran into this in Galatians 2, verses 1 to 2. It says that Paul had entered into this Galatian area and was trying to convert the Gentiles. He had with him Titus, who was a Greek, which is a Gentile, which was uncircumcised. And here's where the problem started. So Paul realized when these men came up to him and demanded that Titus fulfill the laws of Moses, Paul refused, as did Titus. They refused. They would not do it. And these Judaizers backed off. Maybe Paul thought this was the end of it, but finally realized that this was not the end of the problem, but this was, in fact, the beginning of the problem. He discussed this with James and Peter and John, and James and Peter and John all commended Paul. And this is in Galatians 2, 7 through 10. They commended Paul for the work that he was doing, for the gospel and the conversion of the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John extended unto him the right hand of fellowship. In other words, they said, we are accepting of what you're doing. You're doing what is right. We agree with the things that you do. And the only encouragement that they could offer to Paul was that he remembered the poor. This is something that Paul always did after this on the remaining missionary journeys that he took. But Paul realized at this time that there was a problem, and this was a big problem, and this was not a problem that was going away unless there was some type of an official announcement by the leaders of the church in Jerusalem and the apostles that would put a stop to it. After this meeting with men of reputation, it became a public meeting when the members of the church were brought in, when the apostles and elders were brought in. And when this happened, Peter automatically arose and began his speech. Now, Paul had already introduced the problem. They knew what the problem was. Paul had already told the people what he thought the solution should be and realized that this was not a fair thing that the Judaizers and Pharisees were trying to bring about. And Peter arose in Acts 15, and his speech is recorded in verses 6 through 11. And Peter says, I'm the one that preached to the Gentiles first. And he goes back to the 10th chapter of Acts, and he speaks of Cornelius. If you remember Cornelius, this was this very important Gentile that had men under his control. And he received a call, or he received from the Spirit, the Spirit approached Cornelius, and he said, I want you to send to Joppa for the Apostle Peter, and I want you to have your men bring the Apostle Peter back here. Caesarea, I believe, is where Cornelius was. And he said this in this vision, Cornelius was told to send to get Peter and to bring Peter back to him. About the same time this was happening is when Peter went into this trance when he was hungry. And he said that the sheet was lowered with all sorts of animals on it. And God said, the Spirit said, kill and eat. And Peter said, I don't kill and I don't eat anything that is unclean. And God said, what I have created, there is nothing unclean. He did this three times. So Peter now was beginning to realize that something was taking place here. There was about to be a big change in the way things were going. This was in that 40-year span. So Peter realized that something was about to happen when they began to knock upon the door. And it was this emissary from Cornelius. And they asked for Simon Peter to come back to Caesarea with them because the Spirit had approached Cornelius. And Peter went back because the Spirit told him, this is me that's telling you to do this. The Spirit said, this is my intent. I want you to go back. And Peter did as he was told to do. Peter said then that as he got back and talked to Cornelius, and Cornelius told his side of the story and Peter told his, that they were realizing that something great was about to happen. And this happened in the 10th chapter of Acts in verses 44 and 45 when it said that the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles. They began to speak with tongues. They magnified God. And Peter, realizing what had happened, commanded that they be baptized in the name of Jesus for salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins. The Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles even as he fell upon the Jew. Now that was my assignment today. He fell upon the Gentiles just as he fell upon the Jews. The Bible tells us that God, at this time, God had decided, and it made it clear to Peter and to Cornelius, that he would purify the Gentiles through faith just as he purified the Jews when they would repent, confess, and be baptized. Peter also realized that there were new rules that were going to have to be established at this time because this was a brand new thing. This was a brand new ballgame. This was a brand new covenant. There were no tracks to follow. They were establishing the rules as they went. And they knew that they should not test God, and they should not place a burden upon the Gentiles which the Jews could not bear themselves. And this has been Paul's argument all along. Don't burden these Gentiles with the same rules that we and our forefathers could never follow. The new covenant was established in the eyes of Peter at this time that God will save the Jews and God will save the Gentiles in the exact same way. Repentance, confession, and baptism. And through the grace of the Lord Jesus and through faith in Jesus, Gentiles and Jews would both be equal in the gospel. So, go back to Acts 2 and verse 4. It said that the Holy Spirit fell upon the shoulders of the apostles as fire. And that they realized that the Spirit had entered these men. There was an indwelling. And they began to speak in tongues. They began to prophesy. In Acts 2 and 38, Peter said to these Jews, "You murdered the Messiah, and now you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins for salvation." So the Jews had the Spirit put on them in Acts 2 and 4, and Peter made the baptism statement in Acts 2 and 38. Now in Acts 10 and 4, the Spirit fell upon the Gentiles in the same way. And they also begin to prophesy, and they begin to speak in tongues. And Peter realized that the Holy Spirit had now enjoined themselves to the Gentiles. So in Acts 10 and 48, Peter said the same thing to the Gentiles that he said to the Jews, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Because he realized that there was a new covenant. There were new rules. That the Gentiles had now been given the exact same rights that the Jews had been given so long as children of God, which meant that now everything had been fulfilled and all had a hope and an opportunity of salvation. He then agreed with the testimony of Paul and Barnabas. And then he used Acts 15 and 12 and said that the miracles and wonders that God had wrought among the Gentiles. Paul said, you need to make it so that you don't hurt my Gentiles. Peter says, Paul's right. We can't do this because the Gentiles are going to be saved. I know for a fact because I'm the one that preached to them first. He said the Gentiles will have the same salvation on equal terms as the Jews. And then he says in Acts 15 and 12, he said that the miracles and the wonders that God has performed with the Gentiles confirmed that this was, in fact, God's will. He said the multitude listened intentionally. And now in Acts 15, verses 13 through 21, we have the words of a very wise man that we don't read a lot about. He was not as in front as was Peter and John, but this was the Apostle James, which was one of the inner circle with Christ. And now James stands up to speak, and he brings his thoughts and his wisdom before the group. First thing he said was, Paul's right. We can't burden these Gentiles with something we couldn't live with. And then he said, and Peter's right. We can't burden these Gentiles with something that we couldn't live with. And Peter's the one that established both of these things with the Jews and the Gentiles. He said, and also, he said, there's the prophet Amos that we have to consider. He quoted then from Amos 9, verses 11 and 12, where Amos said, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as the days of old, that they must possess the remnant of Edom, and all of the, King James Version says, all of the heathen. The New King James Version says, all of the Gentiles, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. James is saying, even Amos in his prophecies of hundreds of years ago, speaks of the buildup of the Jews, of the downfall of the Jews, and then the bringing in of the Gentiles as a fulfillment because the Jews had rejected. He said that the Gentiles are the heathen, which are called by my name, may be part of the kingdom. So James says, I'm going to offer a solution here. I'm going to offer a compromise. And I would like a letter that would be written by the apostles and by the elders, by the members of the church, so that we could describe our policy on this and we might establish some rules whereby the Gentiles might operate. And these are very, very wise words that appeal both to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. Here's what James said. He said, let's write a letter and let's offer this judgment. He said, number one, we will not trouble the Gentiles that were young and were converting to Christianity. We're not going to trouble them with these silly rules that we couldn't live by. We're not going to force this upon these Gentiles. That's number one. He said, but, and this was to satisfy the Jews, he said, let's ask them to abstain from a few things. Let's make some rules that the Gentiles will accept. He said, let's ask them to abstain from things polluted by idols. This is meat that was offered to idols. Now, we know through the teaching of Paul that since an idol was nothing, even offering meat to an idol that was nothing, it was not wrong. But in the eyes of the Jews, meat that was offered to an idol was a problem. They had problems with it. So James says, let's ask them to abstain from eating meat that has been offered to an idol. This would appease the Jews. He said, let's write that they abstain from sexual immorality. This was going to be brought forth anyway in the gospel. This is a common sense thing. He said, let's ask them to abstain from eating things that were strangled. In other words, the Jews cut the throat of the animals and they completely bled the animal out and then they prepared the meat. He said, let's ask them not to eat anything that's strangled and let's ask them to abstain from the eating and the drinking of blood. Now these are the four things, or one, two, three, four, five things that James lists right here that he wanted the Gentiles to do as a rule book as to what they needed to be and what they needed to do before they had been converted to Christianity. And these were all things that the Jews were deeply ingrained from the beginning. This strangled meat, eating strangled meat and drinking or eating blood or eating animals that were not, we refer to it today, as being kosher killed. This was something that had been ingrained with them since way, way back. This was important to the Jews. So James said, if we'll take these things that are very important to the Jews and we will make them part of this rule book for the Gentiles, he said, it's nothing that's really hard for the Gentiles to listen to. They're common sense rules. And he said, this is a compromise that we can use where the Jews will be satisfied and the Gentiles will be satisfied. And it'll go a long way in making peace between the Gentiles and the Jewish. Reasonable request that the Gentiles were able and willing to accept. So with the testimony of Paul and Barnabas, with the speech that Peter made, and with the wisdom that James made in his speech, supported by the proof that God approved of what Paul was doing because of the miraculous signs and the scriptures of prophecy that were being fulfilled, this conflict came to a solution. Not a very long solution, but there was a solution to this first problem that they were having with the Galatians. So, as James suggested, in verse 22 of Acts 15, the apostles, the elders, and the whole church agreed to send a delegation and to send a letter to the Gentile congregations in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia that stated that the apostles and the church at Jerusalem had given no commandment that the Gentiles must be circumcised and follow the law of Moses. They made it very plain. This was something of opinions of man. It was not something that came from the apostles or from the church in Jerusalem. Judas and Silas were selected to accompany Paul and Barnabas, Acts 15:22, and a copy of this letter, as it was written by the Jewish church, is preserved in Acts 15, verses 23 through 29, stating exactly what these rules were, according to the wisdom of James, And also was noted the fact that the trouble that they were having from these Judaizers, from these Pharisees, was not from the apostles or from the Jerusalem church leaders and the elders, but in fact it was from opinions of men in the congregation. They had no authority to set these rules, therefore there was no authority for them to even be in place. Acts 15:30 said that Paul and the delegation returned to Antioch and delivered the letter. Acts 15:31 said that the multitudes rejoiced over this and thought it was a wonderful deal. The Jews were able to accept it. The Gentiles were able to accept it. Judas and Silas continued to exhort the brethren with many words, Acts 15:32-34. And Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch teaching and preaching, Acts 15:35. So what can we learn from the 15th chapter of Acts? What is our conclusion? The conclusion is that when they first began to teach the Gentiles and bring them into the nation or into the church and the family of Christ, that immediately there were conflicts. Immediately there were problems, and immediately there were challenges that were faced by the early church and by the Apostle Paul. There was a challenge here of this transition between the death of the old covenant and the creation of the new covenant. And the challenge that they were having here was that the Jews did not want to accept the Gentiles because they felt that they were unclean. You know, that's what Peter said when the meat was lowered down. Lord, I'm not going to kill or eat anything that's unclean. And God said, nothing I've created is unclean. But we've got this unclean thing about the Jews feeling toward the Gentiles, that there was very, very little love and concern between the Jews and the Gentiles at this time. Now the Jews were about to learn a real strong lesson in humility, and the Gentiles were just about to be offered the gift that is unbelievable in the scope that still reaches to us even today. The challenges were overcome for a while, or this challenge was, and in large part due to the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul has been referred to as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, but at the will of God, he became an apostle to the Gentiles, and God used the Apostle Paul to build this bridge between the Jew and the Gentile to fulfill what Christ accomplished upon the cross. He died to bring peace between the Jew and the Gentile and to create out of the two one body. According to Ephesians 2, this is the church of Christ. This is the kingdom. This is the body of Christ. So they took these two groups that had no love for each other, and now they're combined, and through the church, they all would be able to worship God. And how does this affect us? They ain't a Jew in this building today. We are every one Gentiles. When this was changed, the new covenant was established, it was us that was able to benefit from this. Gentiles were blessed and allowed to come into fellowship with God and His people, and the Jews were able to get something done with a compromise that they would be willing and able to accept. And peace was made between the Jew and the Gentile in these terrible, terrible situations that they were trying to force the Gentiles in. Was removed. Let's have a song of meditation.